This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Philip. Let's get a quick update on how the Bursa Malaysia is doing, Chuang.
Well, the KLCI is still in Benny Hedgehog's territory, 1555, down 0.3%, extending a 4.5% year-to-date decline. Opcom is still very much in play, about 29 million ringgit worth of shares changing hands, 136, Theta H 173, up by 5%, 18 million ringgit worth of shares changing hands. I'm not sure which ones of those companies said an UMA a few days ago, but...
I think Opcom and Theta both had UMAs.
Yeah, they both had UMAs, right. And of course, Seaton's Digital also very much in the fray. 205 this morning, of course, bouncing back nicely in the back of, you know, Credit Suisse's initiation of coverage with a target price somewhere north of here.
I think what happened last week was a blip.
It was a blip. And of course, just even Bank Negara said it's a temporary relief measure.
We are turning our attention to OPEC because yesterday they announced, OPEC Plus announced that they will stick to a plan for a slow and steady increase in oil output, causing oil prices to reach new highs in years with Brent crude at more than $80 a barrel. This has been an upside catalyst for oil and gas counters in Malaysia, but are they out of the woods yet? And how will the latest developments play out for black gold as we return to some form of normalcy? So for an outlook on the oil and gas sector in Malaysia, we have on the line Stephen Chan, equity research analyst at Kenanga Investment Bank. Good morning, Stephen. Thanks for joining us today. Do you expect oil prices to stay elevated? And what is driving the overall rally in prices?
Well, in the short term, it is entirely possible that oil prices could remain at current levels. OPEC Plus has recently stuck to their production increase in November by an additional 400,000 barrels per day. Now, we see this as a positive because given the strong oil prices, it was actually quite possible that OPEC could have capitalized on this opportunity to raise productions than from what was initially targeted, but eventually it did not. So why this is because of underinvestments over the past 1 or 2 years, or also partially because of the COVID-19 pandemic, which we believe had made ramping up productions in a short amount of time somewhat difficult. Another reason also is that the fundamentals of the oil market are still rather uncertain at this moment in time, which have also made oil producers somewhat reluctant to ramp up productions prematurely. So all these combined, coupled with the better than expected demand recovery and aggressive drawdowns of inventories over the past couple of months, have led to short-term oil prices going up so strongly. But I think over the mid to long term, we could see some downside risk to current oil prices. OPEC's spare capacity is at its peak now in 2020 and 2021. So as these spare capacities come into the market, I believe, and coupled with the gradual re-emergence of US shale oil, we could expect growth in the production to gradually outpace the slowing growth in global oil consumption. I think over the long term, we are expecting Brent prices to hover around the $55 to $70 per barrel mark.
And Stephen, after years of underinvestment, do you see national oil companies like Petronas ramping up their CapEx plans?
The short answer is yes, but we do expect spending to still be below pre-pandemic levels. Now, if you look at Petronas specifically, they're guiding a CapEx for the next 5 years to be around 40 to 45 billion ringgit per annum. As a comparison, in 2020, they did CapEx of around 33 billion ringgit. This is still above 2020 levels. It is still below pre-pandemic levels, where in 2019, they did CapEx of around 48 billion. And of course, this is still far below their peak back in 2014, 2015, where annual CapEx was close to 65 billion ringgit. So the answer is yes, CapEx is expected to be ramped up, but not as high as pre-pandemic levels. Globally, we are also expecting a similar narrative. Global upstream and E&P investments will be up from 2020 levels as well, but still remain below pre-pandemic levels moving forward.
Interestingly, your recently released report says that Sarawak is a thematic play for the oil and gas sector. Why?
If you look just recently, right, Petronas has agreed to pay sales tax on petroleum products for both in Sabah and Sarawak. And I think generally there has been an overall theme to allow more local involvement in its oil and gas industry for East Malaysians. You know, just back in July 2021, Petronas had signed an agreement with Petros to enable Sarawak to take on a more active role in its own oil and gas industry. And of course, with Petros having full control over its natural gas supplies, the sales and distribution network in Sarawak. And also, if you just look as recently as the announced 12 Malaysian plan, there was also a couple of mentions of initiatives to spur greater activities within East Malaysia. So specifically, the 12 Malaysian plan did mention the development of a natural gas roadmap, which seeks to provide strategies to attract new investments in gas-related industries, and also building a roadmap to attract investments in the petrochemical industry in Sabah and Sarawak.
Stephen, one more question before we let you go. What is your call for the sector? What are your top picks and why?
In tandem with the recent strength in oil prices and overall expected pickup in activity levels, we have just upgraded the oil and gas sector to overweight from neutral previously. Top picks that we have included are Dialog and Yinsen, and we have also included USMA as well as our trading recovery pick. We have chosen these names because, number one, value emergence, where we believe, I think, valuations for these names have fallen enough to be attractive again. Take, for example, Dialog. At current levels, we feel that the market is not appropriately pricing in any future growth from Pengerang. And Yinsen, where I think the market is not pricing in any potential future wins as well, which we think is likely in the coming couple of months. The second point is we believe that these names will be able to strive in a post-pandemic era, given the increased amount of attention being put into energy transition. So among the local names, I personally feel that Yinsen has been ahead of its peers in this regard. They have been setting very clear targets for its ventures into renewable energy. They have been guiding a target of 3 to 5 gigawatts capacity in the coming years, as well as being carbon neutral by 2030 and net zero emissions by 2050. USMA, on the other hand, has also guided on a 5-year roadmap where it strives to achieve 1.5 billion ringgit in revenue by 2025, and of which 40% will come from non-oil and gas. And these top picks aside, we have also highlighted Hibiscus, PChem, and LC Titan as potential oil price proxies, simply because given their high correlation between their share prices and crude oil prices.
Stephen, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Stephen Chan, Equity Research Analyst at Kananga Investment Bank, giving us the lay of the land in the oil and gas sector. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.